This is the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker, sharing real-life stories and experiences. Why Your Story is produced by SVI Media and available on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app. And now, from the SVI Media Studios, located in scenic Star Valley, Wyoming, here's Travis and Mary Jo with the Why Your Story podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Why Your Story podcast, brought to you from the beautiful studio of SVI Media.
It is gorgeous here.
It is gorgeous here. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
And I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And together we are...
Why Your Story podcast. Woo! That's the first time we've got it right.
That was awesome.
I'm impressed.
Well, Andy, it's not your turn to talk yet.
Oh, excuse me.
You haven't been introduced yet.
Wait,
sorry.
Wait till I point at you and then you can talk. Right?
I apologize.
Why don't you point back? Just point back.
Let's, hey, let's just soak. Hold on. I've got a drowned out land here. All right, that's enough of that. Don't you think?
I think it's plenty of that. Yes, especially with our topic
today,
and there you're playing that song.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the topic today because when I walked in, you were talking about your favorite drinks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is?
Crystal Light with caffeine, strawberry.
Okay, but that's not what we were talking
about.
You
never can find it at Brolin's because Lindsay Hill steals it. Well, she pays for it, I think. But yeah. Theoretically.
Since you didn't get the hint, I will talk about the pop shop.
Oh, yes. And then Coke is my second. Sorry.
Folks, I will carry this.
Oh, I'm hot.
We I walked in here and I have my pop shop cookie. Thank you, MJ.
You're welcome.
But MJ failed to get me my drink.
Sorry.
But I already had my drink today.
Okay.
I drank a... Let them eat cake.
Mm. What's in that?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Everything good.
Everything really? Good. Like, okay. There's got to be like birthday cake and Mountain Dew and cream and it's just
I'm expecting
everything that you would think is heavenly into one cup.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll try it once.
So, but you can just sip on your, because you can still get just plain old Coke at the
pop
shop.
Yes, you can. Yum, yum.
So, we thank Pop Shop for their support and sponsorship and keeping me healthy and 40 pounds overweight. But let's not talk about that.
Let's not. Let's talk about
But speaking of
fun stuff.
Ted Bundy, you were talking about...
That is for another
podcast. Oh, is that another podcast?
Yes.
The Bigfoot one.
Yeah.
No. The Bigfoot one is going to be the classic.
It's like in a couple
weeks. That's going to be the best podcast I feel like we've ever done.
I've been super looking forward to it.
We have not released Sasquatch yet. Okay, so we'll talk about Ted Bundy in his jogging shorts next time.
No.
Or later.
Later.
Just at another time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Glad to clear that up. We actually do have some special guests with us today who don't really know what they're in for today, but they are sitting there looking apprehensive into their microphones right now. But they won't hurt you.
No. You, pretty cute girls.
Now you can speak
with
in.
With the microphone of the girls.
You.
Oh,
you're yes. pretty cute.
We actually have Landy Ullman and Chrissy Jensen
woohoo!
From Home Health and Hospice with us today, right?
Am I allowed to talk now?
Yeah. Am I pointing at you?
I'm getting the finger. Yes.
Oh, boy.
We are actually excited to have you gals with us today. Now, I've been thinking all day, what can we possibly do to make a podcast about home health and hospice fun and exciting? And so I've drawn a blank.
Well, it's a good thing I'm here because I have not.
You have not drawn a blank?
No,
I have not. Okay, well, so let's go down as we go through this. Let's go down your line of thinking, okay?
Okay.
And then I'll just kind of throw us off course every now and again.
Okay. First, I think they should talk a little bit about themselves.
No, let's let them talk a little bit about themselves, and then I would like to share a few stories about home health and hospice that I have had over the years.
Okay? If we have time, we'll put you in.
We'll see if we can squeeze it into the end.
If we point at you.
So, gals, go ahead and tell us a little about yourself. Landy, why don't you start first?
Okay.
How old are you?
Travis?
I do have to tell you, when I told Polly, my mother, who's been on here, that I was coming to do this, she said, okay, when you go in, put the swear words in a jar and hand them over, and Travis will give them back when you're done.
Oh, she's such a sweetheart.
She's the best.
We need to have Polly back.
For sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So Travis has my swear words in a jar.
I got them right here. I'll use them.
So, okay, so I'm Landy Allman. I've been a nurse for 17 years. And I recently took over the job of director of nursing at Simby Home Health and Hospice, which is a whole new ballgame for me. So, and that's what we're here to talk about today, to kind of educate the public on. We're going to focus hopefully a little more on hospice and what the benefits of it are and how the great people of Star Valley can take advantage of it.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Very good. Now let's ask the question again. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Since I learned absolutely nothing about that other than you put your swear words in a jar. So go ahead, Lenny. Tell us about
Travis, I just did.
All I learned was that your mom was Polly, and our listeners didn't learn anything about you other than you've been a nurse for 17 years.
So okay.
Go ahead.
What else do you want to know? I'm married.
I grew up. I'm married. I love this. I don't love this.
Okay. Oh.
Your favorite drink at the pop shop. And then we'll go from there and see if we can keep going.
Gotcha. So I was born and raised here in Smoot, Wyoming on a dairy farm. Spent a lot of time milking cows, changing pipe, everything that, you know, a good Star Valley girl does. Then I went away to school in Logan, got a degree there in sociology and social work, and then came home and got my nursing degree and worked at Star Valley Health now, not Medical Center, hospital, whatever you want to call it. For a long, long time. I did leave and do labor and delivery for 5 years and loved it. So now I'm at the other end of the spectrum. I did do birth and now I'm at the other end.
Yeah. How many children do you have?
I have two, Chesney and Traden, and then I also have two bonus stepkids, Yay. Dalton and McKenna.
Sweet.
And two grandbabies.
Yay!
Wonderful.
Cutest little girls ever.
Oh, that's wonderful. Love to hear that.
But they are pretty adorable. And I'm not the one who really likes kids, but they're darn adorable.
Wow, that's super cool, Landy.
Yep.
That's awesome. Good for you.
And I have almost as many farm animals as MJ. Maybe. We're probably pretty close.
Yeah, I think you probably
like
have
petting zoo status?
Yeah.
It's kind of, mine's kind of like a, what do you call it? Refuge.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
same.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have room for a couple horses?
I do.
Okay.
I do. We'll talk after.
Okay, great.
Hi, Chrissy.
Right, Chrissy, you're up.
Okay, so let's see if I can do it right the first time. My name is Chrissy Jensen. I was raised in Burns, Wyoming, clear on the other side of the state. So I literally went from one border to the next. So Nebraska and Colorado. Mm-hmm. Now I'm over here to this Idaho side, which
the good side.
Is Burns by LaGrange?
No.
It's further north or south?
It's south. So it is right... do you know where Pine Bluffs is? Right on the I-80 corridor?
Yeah.
It's the town that's just a little bit west of Pine Bluffs on the I-80 corridor. So it's right there on the border.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
Yeah. While I was in college, I met my husband, Jake Jensen. He's born and raised here in Star Valley, which was my first experience with Star Valley. I didn't know you guys existed up until...
Rude.
I met a guy.
She
and then
met
I was
a guy.
Like, what is this place? You know, but thus I've come here. I got my degree in social work, and I came and started working at the hospital for the last 7 years, actually. And then about a year ago, I made the transition after I got my master's degree to work on hospice after I'd had my own experiences with hospice. And that's how I've come to this place.
Nice.
Yeah. So now you live in the valley.
I do. Grover.
Of stars. In Grover.
You bet.
Yes. And you're married, kids?
Married, no kids, two cats, one dog.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I'm a fan.
And you work with Landy? Are you Landy's boss? Or
oh, no.
Are you...
Just kidding. You, there's like, no managing her.
There is, well, I know that. That's why I'm curious to know how this dynamic works here, because...
We're a great partnership.
I've worked with Landy before. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we're partners, very much so. I made the jump over to the hospice agency first, and then once I kind of... had some things figured out. I totally harassed Landy until she came and joined the team too. Because I just knew, I was like, if I'm going to have a partner, it has to be her, obviously.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you guys have lots of fun together, I'm assuming.
We
as
do.
As fun as you can have in hospice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I would it'd be fair to say that most of our listeners have heard of home health or hospice. Go ahead and shed some light on what that means and how it might be
and
different.
The difference.
Yeah, the difference.
Chrissy, you're the best with words. Go ahead.
Shucks, even though words are hard. So home health and hospice are two different spectrums of health care that you get outside of your standard medical clinic. So this is mainly for individuals. Home health would be individuals who struggle to get out of their home. So we're talking our individuals who have walkers or oxygen, struggle to get in and out of their house, in and out of their cars. They have a very clear difficulty that prevents them from being able to go in to get their medical care. So what we do with home health, we bring the medical care to them, which is really neat. So we can bring in nurses, therapy, speech therapy, social worker, wow. Which is really cool, so they can actually do counseling in home.
Wow.
It's really, really neat. The big thing with it is, though, Medicare only pays for home health if you are improving and getting stronger, and we're working towards a goal.
Okay.
And that really is where it kind of separates off from that hospice world, is that hospice is, okay, we're not going to make any more gains. We're not getting stronger. How do we make the rest of your life quality? Mm-hmm. At this point, it becomes that quality over quantity aspect. And that really is kind of that division. Under hospice, there is no criteria for homebound. There is only the criteria that if your disease, whatever it is that's actively killing you of sorts, follows its standard course, that there is a likelihood that you could pass away within 6 months, which I think most any of your late-stage chronic illnesses, your COPDs, your CHFs, mm-hmm. A lot of those late-stage, they're actually at that point, that if they stopped all treatment and they let the disease take its course, most individuals in those later stages actually qualify for hospice, and it doesn't change their plan of care at all. They can still take the same medications, but hospice pays for it. We can get them equipment, services in the home, all of that, and it's paid for at 100%, which is the really cool part. And mind you, this isn't a program that you have to qualify for. It's a program that people have paid for by paying into their Medicare. It's a you use it or you lose it type thing, which a lot of people don't quite understand the fact that they paid for this service. So a lot of people, well, I'm not ready for it. I was like, but you paid for it, bud. You know, I always try and express that.
So is there an age limit, like young, like say you're 5 years old?
No, by all rights, with hospice especially, if you have a chronic illness or a terminal illness, forgive me, at any age, you can go on hospice. If we determined that there is no treatment, you don't want treatment, and we can provide whatever care is necessary. There have been children on hospice. We haven't had any since I've joined the team, but there have been children on hospice, sure. All the way up to your standard 105-year-old on hospice.
Sure.
So that's not really a criteria for it. A lot of private insurances do also cover hospice at 100%. So for those ones who are under the age of 65 or don't have a disability who have Medicare, mm-hmm. there's still options for them if they have private insurance and or Medicaid.
Do you have any programs like, you know how you have, remember Troy Clausen that used to be over EMS?
Yeah.
He one time was talking to me about doing something in the Valley for people in their last stages of life, like make a wish.
Mm-hmm.
And we take an old ambulance and we just like take him to the top of wherever, Dry Creek or whatever.
Yeah.
And
just roll him down the hill.
Travis.
Oh, is that not what we're talking about?
Travis. And you do something fun for them, or you take them to Palisades and go fishing.
Yep.
Is that in the works?
We would love to get a program kind of like that. But, you know, when we go in and meet the patient maybe for the first time, just ask them, hey, what's on your bucket list?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do all that we can and use all of our resources to fill whatever we can in their bucket list.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah.
Which that's a really good reason why we try and outreach to individuals to get them on hospice sooner. The sooner we have them on hospice, the more likely are we can identify those wants and needs that they have at the end of the life so that we can get them to be able to accomplish those before it's too late. A lot of our Valley, they wait until they're literally on death's doorstep, ready to die in a week. And mm-hmm. there's so little work we can do with the family to help them come to terms, with the individual to help them come to terms, to make sure we're crossing off all of those goals or things that they mm-hmm. needed to figure out before it was time.
Right.
So really, that's a big push and a passion for mine, actually, is the sooner we get people on hospice who qualify, the sooner we can actually make it a worthwhile experience. As crazy as that sounds to talk about death that way, but there is a beautiful death, and we would like to give people that opportunity.
That's right. That's right.
So talking about home health, let's talk about home health for a minute. What does that look like? Let's just say that I'm home. I don't necessarily have to be old, right? I just have to be improving.
You have to be what we call homebound.
Okay.
Which the doctor will say whether you are homebound or not. And what that means is it's extremely taxing for you to leave home.
Okay. So what does that look like when you come and see me? Is this a daily thing? Is this a weekly thing?
It depends on what you're on for. Like a lot of people.
Let's say that I am swimming in the ocean.
Okay.
And let's say that I am a. No, it's not. It's. Let's say that both legs gone at the thigh.
Okay.
Now that would be taxing for me to leave my home at that
point. A little bit, yes.
Okay, so would I qualify for home health?
Absolutely.
Okay, so. What would it look like then if I'm home with double legs bitten off? What happens?
Well,
what
do you do?
Is that a daily thing?
With that massive of an injury, Trav.
Yep.
Yes, we'd probably be coming in and doing daily dressing changes.
Okay.
Checking your vitals, making sure your pain is under control.
Food? Do you bring food?
No.
Do you bring movies?
I mean, I would come sing to you, but... Okay,
so you could come provide some entertainment.
That's how we convince people to go on hospice.
So this is more of a medical, obviously, type thing that we're dealing with here. You're going to come and make sure that my wounds are taken care of, that I'm taking my medicine.
Yes.
That I am properly bathed. Is that part of
this? That's a huge part of it, Trav. We really want you to stay clean.
Okay. That's my question, though, because yes. I am not a frequent bather.
And, obviously.
And that might be a benefit to a lot of people.
For sure. Yes. Especially like the elderly that need help in and out of a tub or whatever. We have an aide that goes in and does that for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do we have a lot of people in the Valley that have home care? Like, do you go from Cokeville to Alpine? What is your area?
We do. We go from, I think the most north we've had is Alpine. And then we do have a nurse starting in Cokeville.
Wow.
So we'll be able to, we're excited for that. And then spread everywhere, anywhere in the Valley. And now I forgot what your other part of your question was.
Something to do with...
something to do with health and... I don't know.
Healthcare,
I
can't remember either. Home health, I'm thinking.
So a lot of what we see right now is post-op people that have had their total knees.
There, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
So is that something the doctor would say, hey, you need to look into home health because you're going to have a heck of a time getting around and your spouse is not able to pick you up and bathe you?
Exactly.
So does everybody that come to my house, are they a nurse?
Nope. There's the nurse, the aide... physical therapy, occupational therapy.
Now, when you say aide.
CNA.
Okay,
Certified CNA. Nurses, yep.
Okay, gotcha.
And speech therapist, actually, in case, that shark attack resulted in any kind of memory problems.
If you had
to scream so loud, it damaged your vocal cords.
Guaranteed.
So, speech therapist is another one that might come in.
So, like after a stroke.
In. Absolutely. Yeah. Or okay. We have individuals who have dementia who need memory care. So this is a cool thing a lot of people don't realize, is that you can slow some of the trends with Alzheimer's and dementia by introducing speech therapy and having exercises. And so that is something, and we're working really closely with a speech therapist at the hospital who is brilliant, and she really does love and has a passion for people in that area. So that's just another thing. And obviously when you're working with an individual with memory care issues, if they live alone, they probably a taxing effort to get to their medical care. Sure. And even if they live with a spouse or other family member, there still may be difficulties of getting them out of the house and into go see the speech therapist there.
Okay. So you bring the speech therapist to them, the physical therapy to them.
Exactly.
Like after knee replacement. Okay.
Exactly.
That's really awesome. Really. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. It's really nice.
And so you talked about insurance. Insurance will cover home health if it's approved. Yeah. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts here, because none of this huff and fluff. Let's delve right
into
this.
Don't look at me when it comes to insurance, Trav.
I will look at Chrissy.
Thank you.
Insurance.
And quit looking at me.
Chrissy, give it to us straight, okay?
Okay.
No huff and fluff.
No huff and fluff.
Okay, go for it. You're on.
Okay. Medicare. If you're over the age of 65 or you've been determined disabled for at least 3 years, you qualify for Medicare. Medicare covers 100% of home health or hospice services if you meet criteria. So that means you're not going to get a bill if your doctor prescribes you for home health therapy and you get it and receive it, we bill it, Medicare pays us, you don't see any bills associated with it. So that's Medicare. Medicaid, very similar structure. Payment's a little bit slower from them under most circumstances to us, but you're never going to see a bill if you're on Medicaid when it comes to your home health or hospice.
Nice.
Private insurances, they are a whole nother beast, and we could have an entire episode about that.
That wouldn't be fun. So it really not.
It wouldn't be fun. But when you're looking at your private health insurances, a lot of times they will have deductibles, out-of-pockets, and other things. So with the way the deductible works is, say you have a $500 deductible, you're going to have to pay $500 into your health care before your insurance is going to kick in and start helping you under most circumstances, copays aside. I'm making this confusing. I can tell already. Private insurances, call us and we'll work on it. Under most circumstances, it would be covered. Depending on your plan, 80-20, which means that you would pay for 20% of it, maybe 10% if it's a 90-10 plan. If you've looked at your health insurance, you might have seen numbers like that correspond. Yep. So,
So you need a doctor to tell you this, or can anybody that feels like they need home health just call you?
Honestly, they could call us and we'll call the doctor. We've actually had family members who, you know, they are concerned about their loved ones. So they give our office a call and we'll sit and we'll talk with them about what's going on and we'll discuss the options. And if they say, you know what, mom needs some home health. She's been weak. She's had a couple of falls. We definitely need this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it okay if I reach out to the doc?
That's awesome.
Sweet. Of course. We can reach out. We can get them an appointment set up, or if the family member choose to. We are pretty flexible on that end. But you do have to see a doctor, though, leading up to home health. There has to be a face-to-face within the past 90 days.
Yep. Can also be done, you know, teleconference now.
Right.
So,
right. Which is probably the way.
And we've even had some doctors do home calls.
Wow.
Because we have awesome doctors here, which you guys know from working
sure
in the
do.
ER.
We sure bet. Do.
We are so lucky to have the docs we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing that surprised me on doing this is I thought hospice was like 3 weeks. But now I can see why you would want to know way.
But we're
talking
about home health.
Oh,
remember, there's a difference. Oh, did we switch already?
I changed.
Oh, okay.
I'm following you.
So hospice, now we're talking about end of life care.
Yeah.
Okay. End of life care. Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah. You can. We've had a lady that was on for over a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
wow. That's.
And the nice part about our agency specifically, and I guess so, this is. The good and the bad with it. Our community does not use hospice the way that it's supposed to be used because of that, I'm a week away from dying, now I'm hospice appropriate, which is not the way that the program is supposed to be used. That has the worst case of situations as far as what we can do to help the family individual. But
that has kind of been the norm for Star Valley. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's what a lot of people believe hospice is for. They don't believe in the longer, spanned out, well-planned, timed aspects right. of hospice death. Because of that, we have a collection of days that Medicare has given us. So they give us 6 months for each patient we get on hospice. If that patient dies within 7 days, we get to bank all the rest of those days to use for the next person who may need it. So we, because of the nature of how the Valley has used hospice, we have a massive collection of days that I will never run out of days to help anybody on hospice. Right. That's now, we could get everybody who's appropriate for hospice on, and we won't run out if they all live well over a year.
That's great.
So we're really actually in a very good place when it comes to that, to really expand out services and do a lot.
Sure. Well, it's definitely a hard subject to talk about. I mean, most people don't want to talk about it until
exactly, yeah.
when it happens or that yep. time. You know, you think it won't happen to you. But I would say all of us have seen somebody that has passed away and died. And I think one thing when I'm working EMS and I look at their eyes, you know, as they're sometimes they're glazed over and sometimes they're looking right directly at my soul. It's sobering. And, even though I always try to make, you know, have fun in what I do, that's a time when it's not appropriate to be funny.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so my question is, what are some things you suggest, that a family or friends or your neighbor should or shouldn't do during that time?
During exactly what time are you talking? Like
towards the counting the staircase time.
Are we talking about hospice again now? Or are we okay?
Do you want to go back to home health?
No, I'm just following. I'm just, okay. I'm thoroughly engulfed in this.
Oh boy.
Thought. So I think a big thing with caregivers is you need to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of those around you or your loved one right. who is passing away. I remember I just was reading a book about it, and this lady was saying that she was the caregiver for her dad, and she said she was like a basket case. She was so worried about getting the pain meds and getting everything taken care of, and finally her dad just looked at her and said, stop, just mm-hmm. stop, just be with me. That's what I need. Mm-hmm. And that's when she let hospice take over
mm-hmm.
and do all of those things that the family doesn't need to be focused on, and they can be focused on mm-hmm. their loved one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. awesome.
I can see that being a huge benefit to a lot of people, especially oh, yeah. when we get called in on EMS, you know. You can just see that they're just so stressed out taking care of their spouse.
And oh, they yeah. can't do it.
We got a call last night. We had to run to a house. Lady fell on the floor and couldn't get up, and her husband couldn't help her, you know. They yep. needed some help. They need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people need to know it's okay to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the sooner the better.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because there's so much we can take care of for them so they can just focus on their loved one.
Yeah.
Where are you guys located?
So we are, what is our exact address?
We're located wherever you are because we service you in your home.
Wow. Wow.
That was a great answer.
Right?
Chrissy for president.
Okay.
Okay. So where are you located?
Our office.
Where do you answer the phone or get your mail, I guess?
Do you want me to answer it?
Do you have an office in the Valley?
We do.
Okay.
So we are located south of the Elkhorn Arch, a little bit north of Baumgars, and we're in the same parking lot as the USDA, same building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you know where that is,
Edward Jones there, yes. USDA. Jones.
We share that building with them.
Okay.
So
okay.
Right now I think our sign is buried under the snow. I'm pretty sure it is, but
last year the snow actually took my sign down.
What that was isn't buried under the snow?
I don't know.
Good night.
That's true.
Okay, so website. Do you have a website people can go to and look at?
SymbiHealth.com.
And when you say Symbi, that's SYMBII.
Yeah, like symbiotic relationships.
I just got it. Except
that is such
symbiotic
a huge
does not
word.
Have two eyes.
It's the cliff noted version.
Okay. Symbi, what was it?
Home health. Home health. Hospice.
And hospice.com.
It's actually Symbi Well, now I'm starting to doubt.
It's okay. Everybody forgets their website.
Symbihealth.com.
Symbihealth.com. And your phone number is?
307-885-7583.
I have more questions.
Well, we're not done. I just wanted to make sure we got that out of the way.
Okay.
He just had to take care of a few of the technicals.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get that done.
All right.
He's checking things off the list.
Yep. Okay.
Way to be organized.
MJ, go ahead. Take it down your train of thought.
I'd like to know if you, in hospice, I'm back to hospice now, if there
well, you've been on hospice the whole time.
I know. I'm closer to that than you are.
Okay.
Nope. Anyway.
Well, I'm that end of the spectrum, okay?
I'm sitting here thinking, well, how can I get some home health? I mean, to me, that sounds like a geek, because every spring I get this cold, and it just kills me. And my wife works so hard Trav. Taking care of me, you know. And I'm trying to think, well, how can I get Landy to come in and sing and bring
Pat
some movies and
oh, boy.
You know, popcorn.
Oh, boy.
Ice cream when I get my cold. Ice cream. Anyway, I'm just trying to think, you know, is there a way we can do that? But I'd have to get a doctor order.
Yeah.
So I got to get some dirt on a doctor to get a doctor order.
Good we luck. Can talk about that after.
Okay.
I was gonna say, we could probably
yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Carry on, MJ.
Okay, my question is about donors. I know that certain diseases and certain, you know, say somebody it's more of a brain injury, you can use more of the heart and the lungs. But if it's cancer, you can use skin. And is that something somebody needs to do beforehand, obviously, to kind of have that in their, you know, in their writings with their DNRs and all that?
Ideally, yes. Okay. So if you're looking at being a donor, and this is actually a part of, once again, why hospice is so important to get in there sooner rather than later, is we can have those conversations. We can help get the legal paperwork done long before it's even time. Mm-hmm. Our social worker with hospice, we send in a spiritual guidance individual who kind of helps coordinating some of those spiritual aspects, you know, what is death? Where do you go from here? And really meeting where your heart is with that. And then we also have the social worker that comes in, and they do all that legally stuff, which is so important. So that's your end of life planning as far as burial, end of life planning as far as if you did want to donate your organs or whatever it may be. So by all means, we assist with that. However, I do encourage people, even before it's time to go on hospice, please make your financial arrangements, your end-of-life arrangements. Make sure your family's aware. Get those power of attorneys. And that's just the social worker in me kicking in. I see many people who approach those things far too late.
Sure, sure.
And we do follow up with families for up to a year after their loved one passes away, just to make sure that they have all their finances squared away and need help with, you know, wills and all that kind of stuff. So,
that's
because that's usually the last thing you want to deal with, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
We follow them for
sure
up to a year afterwards.
Wow. We have a program called Full Circle, and Full Circle specializes in Social Security, which is amazing. I don't know if anybody's ever taken care of an individual's finances after they pass. You have to call Social Security, you have to send death certificates to 8 different places.
Right.
And it is a beast.
Yeah.
Full Circle, the program that we work very closely with for individuals, actually helps make all of those phone calls.
Nice.
Which is so huge to have an agency that this is their specialty. So you don't have to specialize, because when you're going through all those emotions, it's just too hard sometimes. So having all of these extra services to help support, it just once again makes it so much better for everyone.
You bet.
For such a terrible time.
Yeah.
Very good.
Did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, I just think that hospice people don't get paid enough.
Oh,
is what I
agree.
Is what I was thinking, because
I agree.
Every time that I have seen them, they have been doing things that I don't want to do.
And they're very special
and
people.
And I have a very... Who's very special people? The hospice people or the ones they're taking care of?
Both. But the ones taking care of them are very, very, very special.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's why I didn't go into nursing.
That's why they do the nursing.
Because I would get so attached. You know, I would. And,
it takes a special person to be a nurse.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
It takes a special person to work with nurses.
I know that. That I know. That I know all too well.
Yeah, because you really like to clean up poop.
Yeah, I have a hard thing with the code brown.
If you've worked with Travis for more than a shift, yeah, you do know this.
Well, and even so
I'm just saying that there was a time that I was very thankful for a hospice worker because it was code brown and I was on the porch and we had to get this patient out of the house.
I know, and I was there.
Oh, were you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I was no good.
You were like, and I'm like, I'm just staring at her like, are you serious?
Oh, I love this poor girl.
Yeah, and I was like right at waist level going, oh, Travis.
You were waist level?
Yeah. We needed to clean him up.
See?
Come on now.
Okay, there it is. We just got it out in the open. You guys need to make more money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you.
No, I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
Let's put another couple zeros behind your paycheck.
I'm all for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So what are some things that we should never say when somebody is dying?
I don't have what you should never say when someone's dying, but from
well,
what
that, I that say, was the question.
I'm taking it a little.
You
bit
are really a politician. Listen to that. Well, my stance on gun control is that we shouldn't allow dogs loose in the street.
And we should scoop their poop. And I love America.
And God bless America.
Vote for me.
That was so perfect. I'm sorry, Chrissy. You go off on your tangent, and then I'll come back and ask the question.
Thanks,
again.
Thanks, because the tangent's somewhat related. Okay. Somewhat.
Maybe what you should say.
Speaking of Ted Bundy.
Yes. I was just thinking the same thing.
Oh, boy.
In summer swimming suits. Okay, go ahead.
So, after the loss of someone, the standard phrase that everybody always says, sorry for your loss. Having gone through pretty significant loss and going through all of that, there is no words I hate more than those words. And so I actually have a stance that I won't ever say that to an individual who's just lost their loved one, because everybody's going to be sorry for their loss. If you can give something a little more personal to that person, you will help them through the grief process so much better. That standard phrase, it means very little by the time they hear it's from everyone, mm-hmm, after they've had the loss of their loved one. So try and make a personal connection. Don't, if there's anything I can do, say you'll do something. And that's in my other piece too, is everybody always says, well, if there's anything I can do, you just let
sure
me know.
Do. Yeah.
But most of the time they don't even know what they need to tell you what they need. So
just say, give me your shopping list. I'm going to go do your grocery shopping.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. But you can say, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. I loved your dad so much.
Absolutely.
And that's the personal aspect of it. You know, bring it home to the fact that you love the person too, or you love the person going mm-hmm through the loss. Really, when somebody would make it personal, truly mm-hmm personal, and show that they loved me, cared for me, and loved or cared for the people who I lost,
mm-hmm,
it made a world of difference versus the bland statements. So that maybe just my little 2 cents in for after somebody passes.
Love it.
Yeah.
But while they're alive, Landy, what do you think?
Yeah, Landy.
Yeah, Landy.
She's a politician through and through. Did you see that?
No.
So what's your stance on gun control? Landy, go ahead.
Well, one thing you don't say is, how you doing? You don't say
You don't?
That. Nuh-uh.
Isn't that what we're first trained on EMS?
No.
Wonder if we went in and said, hey,
how are you sunshine? Doing? No. Usually we don't say that.
Go ahead.
Anyway, sorry, Landy.
Well, this might be kind of along the lines, but there are 5 things that I think that the dying individual wants to know before they die.
Only 5 things?
5 major things.
Okay.
In your case, I
can think of a lot more.
Travis.
I just.
And Mandy, we're done.
And let's cut to commercial break.
Yeah. 5 things, Landy.
Go ahead, Landy. The 5 things that people want to know.
Now, if I can remember the 5.
Inquiring minds want to know the 5 things.
The first one is they want to know whatever they were taking care of while they were alive, that it will continue to be taken care of. The second one is they want to know that everything's been forgiven. The third one is they want to know that their life mattered. And now I can't remember the other 2. Thanks, Travis.
Well, that just caused me some serious deep reflection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you forgive me, MJ?
I will. I'm a very forgiving person.
Are you?
I
that's one thing. There's a lot of things you can say bad about me, but I just don't hold grudges.
Oh, they want to know that their survivors are going to survive, that they'll be okay without them.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we've seen it, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, when the dying person almost needs permission to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if the family can say, okay.
And I want to know why they look in the corners of the room.
Oh.
My gosh.
Yes. So
you've been there, done that, right? I mean, you haven't done that, but you've been,
Well, I have looked in the corner, but not while I was dying.
Did you see people?
I have seen the look that happens.
Yes, yes. And people that are totally paralyzed. Steve's grandma was totally paralyzed. She fell down some stairs. And all of a sudden, her eyes opened and she sat up. And it was like, and she's gone. And it was like, she looked in the corner too. I was like, whoa, what's in the corner? So what do you guys think's in the corner?
I think it's loved ones.
For sure. Absolutely, I agree.
Absolutely.
Yep. In fact, we'll even hear them sometimes talk to their loved ones.
I remember.
That's what happened.
We had a little lady who was, previous experience, that she was cleaning up her room and she told me, well, it's because I'm going home. I'm going home. I was like, oh, honey, you're not scheduled to be discharged. You're not going home. I kid you not, within a half hour, she'd actually passed away unexpectedly. Mm. Like, wow. She was not one, and she wasn't a hospice patient. This was just a completely different situation.
Mm-hmm.
But she was getting ready and cleaned up and making her bed because it was time to go home. Because somebody had told her it was time to go
home. That's so cool.
So talking to your loved ones, seeing your loved ones, those things, so incredibly common.
Yeah,
sure.
By all rights. And that's, I guess, one thing I would say. When your loved one who's passing away says they see the other loved ones, they do.
Yeah.
Let them have that. I think that a lot of family members, but they passed away. Like, no, they're here. And it's okay. You know, that builds that safe space for them to go.
Sure.
And gives them somebody to take them on that final life. And it is so important.
That's so neat.
Trav, in your case, it might be family members saying, please don't. We're not ready.
What on earth?
It's not time.
Seriously.
You're not ready for you yet.
Is that going to be played at your funeral?
Oh, yeah.
Nah.
Oh,
You know what I want?
I'm on a highway to hell. Did you say that?
No.
Oh, somebody did.
Hell?
I didn't. My swear words are in the jar.
I know. Landy's are right here.
I'm going to have Stairway to Heaven played.
I want Jack in the Box.
Mm.
With a closed casket.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, I want fireworks and a body bag.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to... garbage can in the mountains.
Oh, that'd be fun. That's rolling all I want. Down there.
No, I don't want it rolled.
No, we're rolling.
No, just
we're rolling.
rolling.
Head and one hand, feet out. Rolling, just the belly.
This is getting way out of hand here. So
we're so sorry.
Well, we sure appreciate you gals being with us today. This has actually
been
quite entertaining and informative.
Yes, it has. I learned so much.
Thank you for letting us come on.
Oh,
it's been fun.
We love you guys. We love you girls.
This is great, and we love your mom.
Yep.
More than you.
Just to add on, Polly and Kent Erickson are volunteers for hospice.
Oh.
Really?
So they can go into people's homes if the loved one needs to, you know, just needs a break.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to have a good, since a lot of the population here in the Valley is LDS, we wanted to have somebody that could kind of provide that link somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And so.
They're perfect.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think they would. You know, my dad could talk your ear off and Polly could lecture you. So
she's I love good, it. She's good at it.
Or make something really
good. I know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Landy.
You gals.
Thanks, Chrissy. Guys.
This is the meaning, shut your mouth while we end the podcast.
Give him the finger.
This is Why Your Story Podcast.
You know what this is? A flock of birds.
That is?
I like that.
Too bad no people can't see what you're doing.
I know.
I can.
They can use their imaginations.
Yeah, that's lovely.
It's epic.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
This is Why Your Story Podcast.
Have a wonderful day. We hope that if you're in need, that you will call these gals and they'll take care of you.
Simbi Home Health and Hospice.
That's right. Phone number one more time.
307-885-7583.
She didn't dodge the question. Did you notice that?
Didn't have to.
That was awesome. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you on the flip.
Flop.
Thanks for joining us for the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker on SVI Media. To suggest topics or reach out to Travis and Mary Jo, email WYS@SVINews.com. That's WYS@SVINews.com. And be sure to follow Why Your Story on Facebook. Stay tuned for the next Why Your Story podcast on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app.